Mark chapter number 5, we'll read in just a moment. Let me begin by actually quoting to you another verse. Psalm 127 in verse 1 says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." We're going to labor in vain to try to build a good home without God. We need God. Everything good must begin with God. In the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. And God created the first home. Everything good. In Genesis 1, you know, everything that he made, God saw it and it was good, right? And everything that's good begins with God. And if our homes are going to be good and what God wants them to be, it of course needs to begin with God. Psalm 127:1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And I want to preach to you this morning about the key to a good home. The key to a good home. Let's pray together and then we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, I ask you please to work in us today. Help us to really grasp the truth from the Word of God. And Lord, help us to realize some things that may be necessary in our own life and in our own home to build a good home and have a home that honors you. Help us today. Work in us today, I pray. Help us to receive what we need from you. Speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What are some keys to having a good home? What are some keys to having a godly home? And I want to share with you just a few things this morning. But number one is regeneration. By that I mean family members need to be saved. Family members need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The first key to a good home is when family members have been saved, when husbands have been saved, when wives have been saved. When a father's been saved, when a mother's been saved, when sons and daughters and brothers and sisters, when they all know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That makes a big difference, doesn't it? That makes for a far better home and a good home when everybody knows Jesus. When everybody's been born again and their lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice with me in Mark chapter 5 a pretty powerful example in the scriptures of why regeneration, why salvation, why every family member being saved is so important. Mark chapter number 5, and look there with me at verse number 1. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." We had the chance when we got to go to the Holy Land to visit what they believed was the land of the Gadarenes on one side of the Sea of Galilee. And of course, it may be hard for them to know accurately, you know, which tomb or which cave on the mountainside was. But, you know, it's really such a small area, realistically, that perhaps, you know, what they look at and say, you know, this could be the tomb of that maniac. Well, it could be. It could be. We saw something like that, a cave on what was the land of the Gadarenes. And here Jesus gets off the ship, and here's this man that was really just a maniac man. The Bible says they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 3, "who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." Notice something, that this man, he wasn't living at home. He wasn't living at home. And I know the Bible doesn't reference it, but obviously he had parents. And very likely, he was a grown man, an adult man, that very likely would have been a married man, that would have had a family, that would have had a wife, that would have had children. And this man's life was so troubled and so disturbed that this man wasn't living at home. His life was a mess. He was possessed of demons. This man was a violent man. This man was a mean man. This man was a very angry man. Let's read again, Mark chapter 5, and let's read from verse 2 down through verse 5. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him," they'd been ripped apart, "and the fetters broken to pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." No doubt this was a man whose family was afraid of him. I'm sure his wife and his children probably lived in fear of what Daddy would do if Daddy came home. You know, still today there are many men that are possessed with demons and evil spirits. There are men and women whose lives are full of sin. There are men and women who are addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography or gambling or some other sin. And in some cases, families even live in fear of, oh, what Daddy might do next, or what Daddy might do when he's angry, or how Daddy might go and blow his paycheck from work and the family won't have what they need. There are homes that are filled with anger and strife and fighting. There are homes that are filled with hatred and unkindness and violence. You know, many homes are in trouble today. You know why it is? It's because people don't know Jesus. People don't have Jesus. Many men are not good husbands or fathers because they've never been regenerated. They've never been saved. Many times women are not good wives or not the mothers that they ought to be because they've never been born again. Their life has never been changed by Jesus Christ. Now some try. Some really do try. Some try real hard to be good fathers and good mothers and may succeed to a certain extent humanly. But something is missing when Jesus is missing. When Jesus is not present in a person's life, something is missing. Because we'll never quite be able to be the father or mother or the husband or wife that God would want us to be if we don't have God in us. If we don't have God's Spirit living in us. In Mark chapter 5 here, we read about a man whose life was such a mess that he wasn't even living with his family. No doubt his parents even didn't want to have much to do with him. I'm sure his wife and children were scared of him. The community, we understand, the community was afraid of him. They had tried to lock him up in chains and fetters and so on and bind him. He was such a wild man. He was an outcast now that was living among the tombs. He was living in the caves where people were buried on the side of the mountain. You know, this may seem like a pretty extreme example, and it is. But this man obviously did not have a good home. This man did not have domestic peace. This man didn't have a great family life. And all around us today, do you know that many things are still the same? Homes are ruined by sin. Sometimes homes are ruined by addictions. Marriages are broken. Families are divorcing. Children are left in single-parent homes without a dad or a mom. Many homes are filled with verbal abuse. Some homes are even filled with physical abuse. Many homes are filled with strife and fighting and arguing. Many homes lack peace. Many homes lack real true unity. Homes are being fractured. Homes are being divided. Homes are being torn apart. Relationships many times are cold and distant, where many times people may even live together, but the relationship is very cold. Very cold. And why is it? The reality is it's because of sin. And we live in such a sin-cursed world, and because of the sin of humanity and the sin of mankind and the selfishness of mankind, many times so much because of sin in our lives, people are not the husbands or wives or moms or dads that they ought to be, or the children that they ought to be. And just families and homes are not what they ought to be, what God wants them to be. And it's sad. Sin can many times have such a strong grip upon people's flesh nature. And then Satan, beyond that, is doing all that he can to destroy families. What am I saying? What do people need? They need Jesus. People need Jesus. Homes need Jesus. Marriages need Jesus. Families need Jesus. And the first key to a good home is family members that have been regenerated. When husbands and wives and moms and dads and brothers and sisters, they've all been born again. They know Jesus Christ in their life. They've been born of the Spirit of God and their life has been changed. For homes to become good homes, they need some new creatures living in them. They need some new creatures living in them. And I don't mean they need a new puppy, or they need a pet monkey, or they need a pet, you know, tarantula, or they need a pet snake or something like that. They don't need those kind of creatures. What they need is new creatures, new moms and dads, new husbands and wives. And by that, I don't mean by that too. I don't mean a new husband, go get a new husband instead, or a new wife instead. I should clarify, right? I mean a new person. A wife that's different, a husband that's different, a father, a mother that's different because they know Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Godly homes, good homes need some new people living inside those homes. They need people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and have committed themselves to live for the Lord. Look down to Mark chapter 5 and notice what happens in this chapter. Notice verse 15. Mark 5 and verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. They didn't know what to make of it. This man, this maniac, this wild man, this man whose life was a mess, he met Jesus and he got saved and Jesus changed his life. People will be different. Men will be different. Husbands and wives and fathers and mothers will be different when they get to know the Lord. And notice what happens after this. Notice what Jesus tells this man to do in Mark chapter 5 after he saves him. After he changes his life. Go down to verse 18. The people didn't want Jesus around. They were scared. What in the world's going on? Notice what it says, verse 18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him. He pleaded with Jesus and asked him that he might be with him. So this man who got saved and now his life is, can I just go with you and be with you? And notice Jesus' response, verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him. What's those next two words? Go home. Go home. Go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Jesus' first command to this man who was now saved, who was regenerated, who was born again, whose life was changed, his first command to him was, go home. Go home. Jesus said, go home. Go home. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. In Luke chapter 8, in a parallel passage, in what is another telling of really this very same story, in Luke 8, 38 and 39, it says this, Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house. Return to thine own house. Go back to your family. Go back home. Go back to your wife. Go back to your kids. Go back to your family. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Jesus saved this man and Jesus changed this man's life. And he said, I want you to go home. I want you to return to your home. I want you to tell them what the Lord has done for you. I want you to show them now, listen, I want you to show them that you're a new man. You're not the man that you used to be. And you're going to have a new husband now. And you're going to have a new daddy now. There's going to be a new man living in your house. You know what people need? They need to be regenerated. True regeneration will change everything. What are our homes need to be? Good homes and godly homes. The first key is that our homes need family members who have truly been saved. Our homes need family members whose lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Homes may have some difficulties. Families will face trials. We're going to have times where we have disagreements and we face trials and we have trouble and so on. We're still sinners. Sometimes relationships will have a little bit of strain because of the fact we're sinners. But you know what our homes need more than anything is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the key to a good home is it's not having a bigger home. The key to a good home is not having more bedrooms. It's not having a separate television in every single one of the people's bedrooms or every single kid's bedroom so that everybody can watch whatever they want to watch and there's no arguing. There's no fussing over what somebody wants to watch. That's not the key. The key is not more bedrooms and more television sets and it's not more money. The key to a good home is not having grander vacations. The key to a good home starts with having Jesus Christ in each one of our lives. Can I ask you something? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you accepted Jesus Christ by faith? Have you believed in the gospel? Have you been born again? Have you put your faith in Him? We need Jesus. Can I ask you this as well? Parent, are you doing what you can to make sure that your children get saved? Or are you doing what you can to make sure that your parents get saved? Are you doing what you can to make sure that your brothers and sisters get saved? The key to domestic peace, the key to having a good home, is family members who are saved. Family members who all know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, sometimes there's a lack of peace and a lack of unity. Why? A lack of harmony. Why? Because people don't know Jesus Christ in their life. Families need saved family members, those who have been regenerated. Are you trying to live in such a way that it would cause your husband or wife to notice a difference and to want what you have, to want Jesus in their own life? A number of years ago in New York City, there was a pastor that was asked to visit a certain home. And he did not know this family, but the preacher went to the address that he was given and he found the home and found that it was a large mansion. And it seemed like the home of a fairly wealthy and successful family. He rang the doorbell and a servant actually came to answer the door. The pastor stood inside and admired the beauty of that home. And after a while, the lady of the house came down to meet the pastor. And the preacher said, "Well, I was asked to come here, so here I am. But I can't imagine what you'd want. It seems like you've got everything the heart could desire." Without saying a word, the woman walked over to a fancy table. And she opened up the drawer of that table and she pulled out a pearl-handled revolver, a handgun. And she laid it down on the table and said to the pastor, "Sir, you're here because I need you. Sir, you're here because I've been holding this revolver in my hand daily. And I would have killed myself long ago except for the shame it would bring to my family. I had someone call you and ask you to come and see me because I've come to the end. I don't know what to do. I may have riches and seem to have everything a person could want, but I can't go on." And that pastor had the joy and privilege of pointing that woman to the thing that was missing in her life. And pointing her to Jesus Christ, and that woman got saved. Listen, Jesus Christ is the answer. What do we need in order to have good homes? We need family members who are saved. You may struggle and think, "Well, I'm going to watch, you know, maybe I can watch Oprah, or maybe I can watch Phil Donahue, or maybe I can watch this, or maybe I can watch the soap operas and get an idea of..." No, bad idea. "Maybe I can do that and watch how to get an idea of how to have a good home." That's not how you're going to get it. Maybe you need to pray for your husband or wife to get saved. Maybe you need to pray for your parents or brothers or sisters to get saved, or your children to get saved. Maybe sometimes some of the problems we have are because our children have not been saved. Maybe the problems we have is because maybe your husband's not saved or your wife's not saved. Hey, what they need is Jesus. If we're going to have good homes and good families, it's not going to just come by, "Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." There are some things we can do and should do, but first it's got to start with knowing Jesus Christ. We need family members who've been regenerated, who have been saved through Jesus Christ. Christ is the answer. Families don't need more money and a bigger house and nicer vacations as much as they just need Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." We must admit our sinful, lost, hopeless condition. We must turn from anything that we've been trusting to get us to heaven. Turn from religion. Turn from good works. And realize that none of those things that we can do for ourselves can save us. And come to God in a simple, humble, childlike faith and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what people need. It's through Christ that we're saved. It's through God's Spirit that we're born again. It's by God's grace and power that we can become new creatures. And that's what our homes need, are new creatures living in them. People that have been regenerated. Far more than we need newer this and bigger that, we need new husbands, new wives, new dads, new moms, new brothers, new sisters in our home. ones that have allowed the Holy Spirit of God to change them into a new person through the power of Christ. You know what? You can have all that this world has to offer. You can have success and fame and wealth. You can have an executive position. You can have a big office on the top floor, a pretty wife, one boy, one girl, and one pet. And one dog. That's the ideal, right? One wife, one... Sometimes people don't think that anymore. But anyways, one boy, one girl, one dog, and that's it. But that's not it. You can drive a BMW or a Porsche or a Mercedes-Benz or a Rolls-Royce or a Ferrari. You can hold membership in exclusive private clubs. You can have lots of money. But if you don't have Jesus, there'll always be something missing in your life. You'll be missing what is truly most important. You'll be missing what God wants for your life and for your home and for your family. What are some keys to having a good home? What are the keys to having a good home or a godly home? The first one is this: regeneration. We need family members that have been saved. Family members who've been born again and been changed by Jesus Christ. Are you truly saved? Have you been born again? Are you saved? Or could you be a hindrance? Is the reason why you have such difficulty maybe getting along with your parents or your mom or your dad is because maybe you've never been saved? You need to be saved. Husbands need to be saved. You pray if you've got an unsaved husband, an unsaved wife. You live before them in such a way as you ought. Oh, what our homes need. They need regeneration. Let me mention just a few other things briefly. Things that I believe are also very important to having a good home. The first one is really the most important one. It can't have anything without that. But let me share with you a few other things real quickly. Number two is this. Regulations. We're all going to start with an R today. Number one is regeneration, people that have been saved. Number two is regulations. Regulations. Say, what are you talking about? Well, good homes have rules and regulations. There's rules for children to follow. You know, children aren't just allowed to go unrestrained and to live however they want. When children are taught right and wrong, and children are taught how to behave and how not to behave, and you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing when there's some rules and regulations. When children are allowed to live without any restraints and they can do whatever they want and they can decide for themselves what they want to do and where they want to go and what they want to watch on television or what music they want to listen to and when they want to eat and what the, you know, it's not a good thing. There needs to be rules and regulations. The Bible says this: a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Regulations and rules are good for a home. They're good for a home. Think about this. When evil speaking or vulgarity or foul speech or gossip or cursing or swearing is not allowed in a home, do you know something? That will make for a better home. Wouldn't it make for a better home if we decide as a together, as a husband and wife, we're not going to have any vulgarity in our home? We're not going to be cursing and swearing in our home. We're not going to be talking bad like that in our home. We don't want to talk evil like that in our home. We don't want foul speech or dirty speech and so on. Wouldn't that be a good rule, good regulation for a home? Wouldn't that make for a better marriage or a better family? Look at something, 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter, right towards the very end of your Bible, towards the very end of the New Testament, you'll find a... some small books, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. We want to look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And notice there verses 7 through 13. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 7 through 13. The Bible says there, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Show mercy. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil. Not rendering is, in other words, not returning or not repaying. You know, I'm not going to boomerang back evil for evil. In other words, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Railing has to do with your tongue. And somebody says something unkind to me and I'm going to speak unkindly back towards them. It says, but contrariwise, instead, blessing. knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips if they speak no guile. Let him eschew, let him hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Hey, wouldn't it be good if evil speaking and vulgarity and cursing and swearing wasn't allowed? Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't that be a great thing if parents couldn't get angry and curse at their parents and swear at their parents? What if that sort of thing just wasn't allowed in your home? Boy, wouldn't that make for a good home, better home? Let me give you another thought. When people are not allowing themselves to be brought under the influence of alcohol and drugs, oh, it makes a better home. It makes a better home. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then it goes on in the following verses, and it talks about giving thanks. It talks about submitting ourselves one to another. It talks about husbands loving their wives and wives submitting to their husbands. It goes on and talks about children obeying and honoring their parents. Listen, homes are good and homes are better when there are some rules or regulations that say, listen, there are just some things that we're not going to allow those things in our home. We don't want those to come inside our home. We don't want those at 10 Amaryllis Avenue. We are not going to allow that in our home because we don't want to be brought under the influence of something. Things like drugs and alcohol, for example, that can make people out of their mind and make people do things and say things that they never would otherwise, when they're brought under the influence of these things. Instead, we need to be brought under the influence of the Spirit of God. Listen, homes and families are always better when sinful things are not allowed and spiritual things are welcome in the home. Let me give you another idea. When perverse and ungodly things are not pumped into the minds of families through a television, it makes a better home. When there are rules about what sort of things may or may not be watched on television, you know what? It makes a better home. In Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3, it says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." I don't have a television in my home, actually. I do have the internet. You know what might be a good thing for you if you got televisions in your home or there's and so on? Maybe for some, what you need to do is set up those verses, Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3, and have them written out. And maybe it'd be good to have a little thing there on top of your television or maybe somewhere near your computer screen or your internet or something. Those are great verses. I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Because we got to have some regulations about, boy, what I'm going to allow to come into my mind, what I'm going to allow to influence me, and what I'm going to allow to influence my children. Listen, if I watch things that, and they watch things that teach rebellion or teach disrespect or that just, you know, make fun of the father of the home or do this or that, that's not good for them. That's not good for any of us. And it's important. Homes are better when there's some rules and regulations, when there's safeguards protecting what dads and moms and kids and teenagers are watching on TV or looking at on the internet. Let me give you another thought. When rebellion and disobedience is not allowed to go unpunished, it makes a better home. When rebellion and disobedience is not allowed to go unpunished, it makes a better home. Proverbs 29, 15 and 17, God says this, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." You know what correction of rebellion and disobedience does? It makes for a much happier place. It makes for a much happier home. When kids are allowed to be rebellious or allowed to be disobedient, they're just allowed to just go on unrestrained and they can do what they want. And, you know, they can fuss and they can throw temper tantrums and rebellious temper tantrums in the store.
You ever watch the kids that they get away with throwing the temper tantrum in the store? They get away with throwing themselves on the ground and kicking their legs and so on. And I know you can't correct it in the grocery store, but boy, it needs to be corrected and it needs to be punished. And that kind of behavior and just pure out and out disobedience and rebellion has to be corrected. Otherwise, it'll be a fight in our home. It'll always be a struggle in our home. God gave parents to children to be a blessing in their life. And to teach them and to train them and to help them. We need salvation in our homes. We also need separation from the world. Notice with me, look over to the Gospel of Luke. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. The book of Luke, chapter number 6 and verses 46 to 49. Luke chapter 6 and verses 46 to 49. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. It says there, and why call ye me Lord, Lord? This was Jesus speaking. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. It was on a sure foundation. Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built an house upon the earth, upon the sand, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know what? The Bible is what helps to regulate a good home. The Bible is what's going to help to build the right foundation for a godly home. We need to have lives that are built on the Word of God, built on the Bible. Building it on the book, building it on the Bible will build a better home, a better family. And we need that. Following the Bible is what will help to build better marriages and better families. Following the Bible is what will help to create the atmosphere for a happier home, a better home. What are some keys to having a good home? What are some keys to having a godly home? The first thought is regeneration, when family members have been saved and they know the Lord. And if that's not the case in your family, why not pray for your children? Pray for that one that's wayward. Pray for that husband. Pray for that wife. Pray for those parents. Pray for your brothers and sisters that are not saved. If you'd like even more domestic peace and family, unity and peace and harmony, even amongst some of your relatives, boy, pray for their salvation, because it's a key to good homes and good families and good relationships. What are some keys? The second thought was regulations. When homes are guided by God's grace and God's word, when families are separating themselves from worldly living and seeking to follow the Lord's way in our homes and relationships. A third thought quickly is routines. Routines. When families have good routines, when families have holy habits in their life, it makes a great difference. It makes a great difference. Are you listening? We need some good routines in our families. Families need some daily routines. Families need some weekly routines. It's good, you know, it's good when families eat together. We've more and more become a society where families eat together less and less and less. We need to eat together. It's good when families can eat their meals together. Husbands and wives eat together. Parents and children eat together. And we spend time together and we talk together. When we pray and thank God for every meal together and for thank God for His blessings. When you can learn to have family devotions together, whether it just be you and a spouse or whether you've got children, to do that as a family is a wonderful thing. Going to Sunday school together as a family, you know what? That's a good routine. Going to church together on Sunday morning and Sunday night, that's a good routine. Going to Bible study and prayer meeting together as a family, you know what? That's a good routine. Reading the Bible together as a family is a good routine. And you know, you don't have to sit down with your children and read to them. You know, I'm going to read, you know, 10 chapters tonight and you're going to get it. And you know, that might be more than your little children can handle. But maybe you could even read a few verses if you got little children. Maybe you can do a Bible story with them. But spend time together and read the Bible together. That would be a good routine for a family. Pray together as a family before going to bed. Have family devotions. These are good routines for the family. I've seen it. I know it works.
These are routines that will help to make a good home. Doing, when you do the same important thing every day, that's a good routine. When you do some of the same important things every week, you know what? That's a good routine. When you take your children to the same Sunday school every week, you know what? That's a good routine. They just know that's what we're doing. They know that's where we're going. That's good for them. Your family will suffer if you don't have some good routines in your life. Reading the Bible and praying and eating meals together and going to Sunday school together and being in church together. Relationships will struggle. And really, listen to me, these routines are good for everyone in this room. And say, I don't got a family. It's good for every one of you. These routines are good for every Christian in this room this morning. They're good for you. Because if not, relationships will struggle. Your spiritual strength will be depleted. Your love for God will grow cold. If we don't keep these good routines, these holy habits in our life, they're important for us to establish a good home and good family. What are some keys to having a good home? Regeneration. When family members have a genuine relationship with God. When family members have been saved. Regulations, when homes are guided by God's grace and guided by God's word, and we've decided there are some things that we're not going to allow in our homes, some things we don't want in our homes. We're just not going to have it that way, or we're not going to live like that. That's a good thing. Thirdly, we need some routines. When families are doing some essential things, some important things together, when we're going to church together as a family, when the doors are open, when we're reading the Bible together and eating together and so on. These are all important routines to help build a good home. The last thought I want you to see is this: righteousness. Righteousness. We need righteousness in our homes. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be finished. Colossians chapter number 3. We may be finished with the message, but I hope you won't be finished in praying and begging God and asking God to help your home be what it ought to be. And be determined that if there's some things that you need to work out in your home, some things you need to do differently in your home, that you'll begin to do some things differently. Oh, it's important. We need righteousness. Colossians chapter 3, and look with me beginning in verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. In other words, set your affection on things that are heavenly, things that are eternal, things that are most important. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, in other words, put to death like a mortician. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all of these. Put off anger. Put off wrath, put off malice, put off blasphemy, put off filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't allow those things. Don't allow those things in your home. Don't allow those things. Put them off. And verse 9, put off lying and so on. Put off the old man with disease. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put off those things. Put on the new man. Notice verse 12. What should we put on? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Put on mercy. Put on kindness. Put on humbleness of mind. Put on humility. If we, in humility, sometimes would be rather serve one another rather than always expecting to be served, wouldn't that make a better home? If we were looking for what we could do for them rather than what we expect them to do for us, wouldn't that make a better home? We need to put on these things. Put on righteousness. Put on humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel or a disagreement against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wouldn't that be good? I may have said this recently, but one of my wife's teachers in school always told them that hugging and kissing is more fun than winning an argument.
Hugging and kissing is more fun than winning an argument. And it's true, isn't it, husbands and wives? It's more fun than just winning the argument. Sometimes people would rather fight than argue. I don't want to live like that. We're going to have to put on forgiveness. We're going to have to be humble enough to forgive. If any man have a quarrel, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And above all these things, verse 14, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. He talks about all these things that, yes, all those things will help every Christian. But down at the end of all this, when it talks to, we need to put off these things. We don't want these things in our life. And we need to put them off. We don't want that kind of behavior in our home. And we need to put on certain righteousness and so on. Put on forgiveness and put on kindness and put on showing mercy and all of these things. And he brings it down to how husbands and wives are going to treat one another. How fathers are going to treat their children. How children are going to treat their parents. Oh, it's so important. Listen, what do we need? What are some keys to having a good home? Regeneration, regulations, good routines. Eat together, pray together, play together. Go to Sunday school together, go to church together. It won't steer your family in the wrong way. Good routines. Regeneration, make sure all your family's saved. Regulations. Some things that you just don't want to allow in your home. Good routines. And put on righteousness. You need to die to self and let Christ live in our homes. Die to self. That old sinful flesh nature that wants to be selfish, that wants to fight, that doesn't want to forgive, put that off. And instead put on the righteousness of Christ. And walk in the Spirit. Let Christ live through you in your home. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,